I think about the principles of ecology, which really are everything is interconnected, resources, matter, cycles through the system. Everything on Earth is part of Earth. The atoms in our bodies have all been part of the ocean, part of the air, part of other animals and plants and everything living and non-living on Earth. I have a friend who likes to say, I was once dinosaur poop. And so just that idea of resources cycle through the system and everything we see is just in a stage of a cycle. And then it's really the sun's energy that drives all of those cycles. Almost every source of energy that we have, all of the food that we eat comes from the sun's energy and plants being able to photosynthesize and take water plus air and turn it in with the energy of the sun, turn it into fuel that we can eat. Every food item we have comes through that process. That's just another example of the cycles. So just thinking about how those cycles really mean that we are just part of Earth and we need to take care of it, because taking care of Earth is taking care of ourselves.
Celebrate this Earth Day by getting outside and following the Leave No Trace 7 principles. Earth Day is the perfect opportunity to enjoy our planet's beauty while considering how to preserve it for generations to come. As part of this effort, Knowles, the National Outdoor Leadership School, trains casual adventurers and park rangers alike in the 7 principles of Leave No Trace to minimize their impact outdoors. Today, I'm joined by Shannon Rochelle, the Knowles Expedition Curriculum Manager and a Leave No Trace Master Educator, as she shares the 7 Leave No Trace principles and why they're so important for preserving the beauty of our national parks and other wild spaces.
I'm Shannon Rochelle. I use she, her pronouns, and I work for Knowles, which is a leader in outdoor education. Part of the school that I work for really focuses on expedition courses, taking people into the backcountry for long periods of time. And we have 4 core curriculum areas: leadership, risk management, outdoor skills, and environmental studies. And my title is curriculum manager, so I am the one who thinks a lot about those 4 core areas.
Yeah, how did you get interested in working with Knowles? Has outdoor recreation been a big part of your life?
I'm a biologist by training, really a plant ecophysiologist. As a kid, you know, I just lived outside. I grew up in a time when parents just sent kids outside to go play and we'd come home by dark. I've always spent time outside, mostly close to home. And I didn't do a lot of backpacking, didn't do any backpacking when I was a kid, but spent tons of time outside. And so coming to Knowles, I mean, deciding to major in biology and become a plant physiologist was totally tied to figuring out how I could be outside and have a job. And I spent the first 10 years of my career working for the Forest Service in Colorado as a plant physiologist for the Rocky Mountain Research Station. And through that time, my partner was a Knowles instructor, and he kept getting these letters from his students saying, "The course you taught changed my life. The work that I was doing was really cool and amazing to me and the other 3 scientists who were studying precisely the same thing in the world." And it felt like it didn't matter the way that working at Knowles would matter. And so I decided to come see what it was like to be a Knowles instructor. And that was in 1997. And I've been here pretty much ever since. Yeah, so I didn't come directly, but it's definitely the right place.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time to be with one company. That's amazing. You must really love it. So today for this bonus episode, we are talking a lot about Leave No Trace. Since Knowles is a leader in outdoor education, it's probably really integrated into your curriculum. And so I guess, what is Knowles Association and then also yours with the concept of Leave No Trace?
Leave No Trace was started by the BLM and the Forest Service, both seeing impacts happening on lands they manage. Back in the 70s, I think they started off thinking about this, 70s and 80s. And in the early 90s, or right around the turn of 80 to 90, they realized they were both working on it separately, and they decided to join forces and ask the other 2 major land management, U.S. federal land management agencies, Fish and Wildlife Service and National Park Service, to join them in this effort to make it a nationwide thing. And they asked Knowles to come in because we were working in the lands that they were managing, and we were an education organization. They asked us to come in and help write the curriculum. And so we were part of helping formalize the initial birth of Leave No Trace. And then in 94, Leave No Trace branched off and became its own organization. And Knowles has been one of the providers of Leave No Trace education since the beginning. But now we're one of about 10 different providers that teach Leave No Trace courses. And so my role in that, I have been a Leave No Trace master educator, which is now called a level two educator, since 1997. And I'm a co-representative of NOLS on the committee of people that meet with Leave No Trace on an annual basis as the providers of Leave No Trace education.
Wow, that's really interesting. I guess I never really looked into the history or like inception of Leave No Trace, because since I was a kid, they've been like a standalone organization, you know? And so that's really cool that NOLS was one of the groups that helped found it all together, making it even more fitting that we're talking to you as a master educator. Before we get into the seven principles, so why do you believe that Leave No Trace guidelines are so important for people to know, understand, and follow?
Well, I think Leave No Trace really is a mindset. The mindset of recognizing, valuing, and caring for our shared resources, which are Earth. So the principles themselves were created, like I said, by the federal land management agencies and NOLS, but they were focused on the idea that places that they were written for were backcountry areas where people were traveling on foot or on horse. So these were seven ideas of the things that mattered most about how to recognize, value, and care for our shared resources in these public spaces. So really, I guess it isn't as much the seven principles themselves are essential to memorize it in my mind. It's more the mindset behind them. And the mindset behind them is essential because we're all just part of Earth, and everything we own, everything we do is part of Earth. All of the resources are shared, and we, as human population grows, we need to care for the resources and recognize that shared nature of everything. That's the idea behind the principles, and that's why I think they're important.
Yeah, that philosophy, I think, is important to understand and hopefully encourage people to then follow the Leave No Trace principles. Let's get to the principles themselves. So do you mind overviewing what current seven Leave No Trace principles are, and then maybe some examples of how people can follow them?
So the principles are plan ahead and prepare, travel and camp on durable surfaces, dispose of waste properly, leave what you find, minimize campfire impacts, respect wildlife, and be considerate of other visitors. Plan ahead and prepare means learn a little bit about the area that you'll be traveling to, learn what the typical weather is so you know that you have the right gear and clothing, learn what the rules are by checking the land management agency's site. Just know what to expect so that you are well prepared when you go there. Travel and camp on durable surfaces is a way of thinking about minimizing your impact to the extent that you possibly can by traveling on trails or where there are trails, traveling on durable surfaces like rock or sand or soil that doesn't have plants on it, as opposed to plants that are fragile and can be injured as you travel on them. And same thing with camping, choosing durable surfaces. You don't want to camp on the trail, but camping on rock or pine duff that is down pine needles are great ways to camp on a durable surface. Then dispose of waste properly. It's thinking about your trash and also human waste, at carrying out anything that you carried in terms of trash. With human waste, it's thinking about, really, it varies with the environment that you're in, the best way to deal with human waste. And really, when you think about Earth's cycles, our fecal material is just part of a cycle. Urine is also just part of a cycle. So in places where there's not too much use, finding a way to dispose of those without having to carry them out is a great way to go. But you want to make sure that you, for fecal material, dig a cat hole that is the appropriate size, shape, and depth for the environment that you're in. And there are places where carrying out human waste really is the only way to respect the environment. So that's dispose of waste properly. Leave what you find. It's an interesting one because if you're collecting food, you're not going to leave that. So when I'm harvesting plants to eat in the backcountry, I try to only take less than a tenth of what's there as my rule. Leave what you find doesn't say it's okay to eat plants, but really as part of the system, if we're in a place where it's not too heavily used, so that eating a little bit would mean that there wouldn't be any left, that is just part of the system. But leave what you find in terms of not picking wildflowers because they're pretty and you want to carry them with you, leaving them in place so that they can actually do what they're there to do, which is help the plants reproduce, leaving antlers and bones that you find because they are part of cycles and systems that provide calcium for other animals and plants. And so everything is part of cycles. And if we take it out of the cycle, take it home and just store it on a shelf, we've removed that resource from the environment, the ecosystem that it's part of. Whereas when we're eating things and then defecating, and we really are just part of the system. We're part of the cycle. So that's leave what you find. Minimize campfire impacts really is just thinking about, we use fire to keep ourselves warm and comfortable, and it is lovely to sit around a fire, but making sure that that fire doesn't destroy the broader ecosystem, erasing the impacts of the fire to the extent that you can is important. To make a true leave no trace fire, you either want to find a fire ring that is already in place, that has already been used, where there are already coals there, or not coals, not burning coals, but charcoal. That isn't a true leave no trace fire. That's kind of using, just like with travel and camp on durable surfaces, that's using a durable, already used surface and not making it any more used than it already was. No matter what you do with campfires, it's important that you do douse them with water, put them out completely. A leave no trace fire has only small fuels. Size of your wrist or smaller is a typical rule for what kind of wood you want to burn. And dead, down, and detached is important, choosing not to burn living plants, but material that is already dead and even detached from the plant that it was part of. What you want to do is burn the fire completely to ash. It takes a long time. You have to stay up late at night to really make that happen. But if you burn it completely to ash, you can then scatter the ash and then rehabilitate the site in a way that no one can tell that you ever had a fire there, if you prepare your site well enough before you build the fire. So if you don't find a fire, don't have a fire ring to just leave it as you found it, you can build a leave no trace fire with this idea of choosing a durable surface and being able to rehabilitate the surface. Moving on to respect wildlife. Respecting wildlife by giving them their space, not encroaching too closely as you're taking photos, realizing that when we cause them to change their activity, we really are hurting them. We're expecting them to spend energy that they may not have extra energy to spend avoiding us. So taking photos from a distance in a way that doesn't cause them to try to move out of our way is part of it. Also thinking about keeping control of our food so they aren't attracted to our food and become habituated to our food is another real piece of respecting wildlife. Those are the two things that I usually think of. And then be considerate of other visitors. It's written as the idea is the other visitors are human. It's actually interesting, they choose the word visitor. We, Knowles, whoever, chose the word visitors, because it points out that in some ways, the perspective that all of these principles are written is for people who aren't part of the ecosystem that they're traveling through. I think in the big picture, when we think about it, we are part of Earth and we are part of the ecosystems. And when I think about the principles, adjust a little bit to not so much think about it only as visitors. I mean, on expeditions, we are generally visitors to the place we're traveling through. I think it's just as true at home. Be considerate of others. And the others are not just human. It's all the living and non-living beings, really. But in the sense that it was written as principle number 7, be considerate of other visitors, just thinking about the visitor experience of the people who you may or may not see, but who are probably around where you are, basically following the other principles so people don't see excessive waste or damage that you've caused, but also thinking about the sounds that you are making and will those impact other people? If you see other people, thinking about whether they want to engage with you, not assuming that they do. And on Knowles courses, thinking about when we want to play a loud game, are we in a place where our loud game is going to affect someone else? So it's all of those things.
Because it is a lot of information to take in, like if someone is listening to this, they may be familiar with them, but they're like, wow, that's a lot to remember. What do you think is the easiest way to remember and follow all of those guidelines?
Remembering them, there's a set of hand signals. Have you seen the hand signals?
I don't think so, no.
There's a link on the L&T website. You know, they'll do a better job on the website than I do, but it's using your hands to just demonstrate each of the principles. So plan ahead and prepare is using your finger as a pen and writing on a piece of paper. Plan ahead and prepare. Travel and camp on durable surfaces. And then this is your tent. And then number 3 is dispose of waste properly. So this is your trowel. You're digging a hole with your trowel to dispose of your human waste. Number four is leave what you find. Take photos with your four fingers. Number five is minimize campfire impacts. So your five fingers are the flames of the fire. Number six, respect wildlife. And number seven, be considerate of other visitors. Peace. Hello.
Those are awesome. I don't know why I've never seen that. That is a really good way to remember and also fun.
It is. Yeah, I mean, that's the best way to remember them. And then just always thinking about the idea that the purpose of all of it is for us to enjoy the shared wild spaces and leave it for others of all species to enjoy as well. Thinking about how can I do this and not leave a trace. And the name Leave No Trace is actually a little bit of a challenge because we're all leaving traces. But how can I do this leaving the smallest possible trace?
Yeah, and I think with time, at least I found with myself, once I learned the principles and then I like implemented them, like as I went outside, they just became normal, like second nature. It's just like, well, I just automatically start to do these things without necessarily having to consider what they are. Okay, so I guess if listeners want to learn more, like we said, they can go to the website and look at all those great resources. But what are some other ways that people can learn more about Leave No Trace, start to integrate it more, or even take a Leave No Trace course?
Well, you can find courses through the web, through the Leave No Trace website, or just by searching in general. Knowles offers master educator courses in some beautiful national parks around the country, and you can find those on the Knowles website.
Thanks for listening. And if you like what you hear, let me know. Leave a review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find us on Instagram at outdoor.minimalist.book. on YouTube, or subscribe to our weekly newsletter at theoutdoorminimalist.com. For even more updates, other educational resources, and to help build an outdoor community with the shared goal to create a better outdoor space as we recreate.